So, Ben, 2 days, Alek Manoah, Bo Bichette, predicting championships for this Blue Jays team. I like the confidence. I'm not entirely sure it's realistic for 2021.
Well, yeah. I mean, and ultimately, you know, Scotty, 29 teams go home disappointed, right? So it's always the odds are stacked against you at this point in the season, but you love to see the excitement from these guys and the hope that they can actually be there. And I think, you know, they have a shot to at least get in the playoffs and see what happens. I think we all have questions on the pitching side of things, or I guess everyone this side of Manoah does. But yeah, it's a fun time of year to kind of get a sense of what these guys are thinking. I guess I hadn't really anticipated how Bichette might answer that question, but if I had thought about it beforehand, that's probably how I would have expected him to answer.
So how do you, as we sit here today, Ben, feel the Blue Jays match up, presumably with the two other best teams in the division, the Yankees and Rays?
You know, I think the Yankees are clearly the best. And even though they have questions on the pitching side with everyone from Herman to Severino to Kluber and Tyone, I still think that offense is almost like the slightly more established version of the Blue Jays offense and what it can be. And both of those teams are going to score so many runs this year. But the Yankees probably have a better bullpen, probably have a better rotation. So they have to be the favorite in my view. But comparing the Blue Jays to the Rays, and the Rays always find ways to get things done. And they've got a great farm system headlined by the best prospect in baseball. But after losing Blake Snell and Charlie Morton, I just don't see quite the same high-end starting pitching that they used to have. And, you know, that's one thing for 60 games, but if you start going to 162, you add 100 games to what we saw last year, and you take away their two best starting pitchers, I think it's going to be tough for the Rays. So I actually think the Jays are kind of neck and neck with Tampa Bay at this point when it comes to that second spot in the division.
Ross Atkins says that he's excited about this rotation he has. Do you think he still needs to get, I know we keep talking about adding a pitcher, we need one more, but why hasn't it been done yet? And does Ross Atkins actually think he can win with this rotation?
I think he thinks he can win, and it might be a lot of 8-7 games or 9-7 games, especially in that relatively small ballpark in Dunedin. And the short right field porch, I mean, it could be some high-scoring games. I do think the Blue Jays are going to have some trouble keeping runs off the board. But, you know, if their offense is as good as it can be and the pitchers can kind of hold their own, then I think it's good enough to win. I think that up until the moment that the Blue Jays add someone, whether that's in a couple weeks or at the trade deadline or next offseason, we're going to be talking about it because it's clearly a need. When you look at the best teams in baseball, the Mets have a stacked rotation, the Padres do, the Dodgers do, the Yankees. I mean, that's what it takes to get to that elite level of the very, very best teams in baseball. And the Blue Jays know that, and they would like to add to that group. But, you know, at this point, I don't sense that there's a ton of traction with Odorizzi. I'm not holding my breath for a deal on that front. So they might go into the season with the group that they have.
Let's presume that the Blue Jays play 162 games this year, and we'll hope that COVID allows it. We hope that they'll play some games in Toronto by the end of the year. Over under 80 and a half games that a starting pitcher throws 5 innings or more.
Wow. I'll take the over. I'll take the over. But I would definitely take the under if you bump that to 6 innings. Like, I think who on this staff, Scotty, like who on this staff is actually going to be pitching into the 6th and 7th inning?
You know, I'd say Ryu into the 6th, but I don't know if Ryu is going to pitch into the 7th very much. That's just not been his thing.
Right. So he goes 6, you say on a good start, he's giving you 6 innings of a couple runs allowed. And that's great. You love seeing that from any pitcher. But then beyond that, you've got Mats, who's, you know, on a good day, probably giving you 5. Robbie Ray, career high in innings is 174, and he's probably not getting there this year. Same Tyler Chatwood, has never pitched as many as 160. He's probably a 4 or 5 inning guy if things are going well. So this is going to be a pitching staff where they have to piece it together almost inning by inning. And I mean, there are some different structures you can look at, but it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a lot of patchwork kind of combinations this year, because you, the one thing you don't want to do is you don't want to overexpose these guys and ask someone who's good for 60 pitches to give you 6 or 7 innings.
Ben Nicholson-Smith, our guest. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Bo Bichette with an interesting take, although I got to say I agree with him, on the 14-year, $340 million contract Fernando Tatis Jr. signed with the Padres.
You know, I'm happy for Fernando. I've always admired the way he plays from minor leagues till now. I mean, he's an exciting player. You know, I think it's really powerful that an organization believed in him enough to put the commitment they did. Obviously, he's probably still not going to get paid what he should have. But I think that, you know, it's good for Fernando, and I think it's good for the Padres. So on my end of things, you know, I'm open. But obviously, there's more important things at hand with camp starting today. And, you know, that's where my focus is.
And that's Bo referring to a potential contract extension or conversation surrounding that on his front. I love how he says, I don't think Tatis is going to get paid what he's due when it's all said and done. And quite frankly, Ben, I agree with that.
Yeah, I agree too. I mean, you look at just how good Tatis Jr. is, and I know it's only been 143 games, but just look at the skills that he has demonstrated, and he is faster than almost every major league player. He hits the ball harder than almost every major league player. He does it in game settings, in the playoffs. He does it against the best pitchers. He does it, you know, repeatedly, day after day. So even at age 22, I just think it's hard to project in the course of the next decade players who are going to be better than him. And if you arrive at the conclusion that it's him, maybe Soto, maybe Acuna, who are the three best players in baseball, maybe with Tatis at the head of that list, then absolutely, you have to want to lock that guy up and make him the face of your franchise, maybe the face of Major League Baseball. So I totally agree. There's a chance that Tatis left money on the table. And it's interesting to hear Bichette say that. And Marcus Semien said something similar. He's very involved with the Players Association and has his finger on the pulse on these things. But, you know, for Bichette to say that in the context of a question that I asked him about his own openness to a potential extension, you know, it kind of suggests to me that Bo Bichette is not someone who's going to be eager to take a hometown discount.
No. And quite frankly, Ben, I'd revisit this next offseason. You give me a plus defense at shortstop to go with that bat you've got, I'm more than willing to talk. Long-term, big money. I think Bo's the guy. But if I see some plus defense, I'm definitely approaching him.
I agree. And you look at what he's been able to do at the plate, it's pretty rare, you know, for a guy. He's got an 896 OPS at this point. It is very rare in the course of Major League history for guys to do that at shortstop by the age of 22. And the only two guys who have had a better OPS through his age at that position are, one, Tatis, and two, Alex Rodriguez. So he's in good company offensively, but I agree with you. You want to see more defensively, and you want to see him do it for a full year. I mean, Tatis Jr. has 143 games. Bo has 75 games. So right now, as much as these guys have similarities, same age, same position, both sons of big leaguers, I still think that Tatis is clearly in another stratosphere compared to almost anyone in the major leagues, Bo Bichette included. And so I totally agree that the conversation to have is probably next offseason, at which point you have more information. And the Blue Jays are positioned here to wait and see. And it's a good situation for them if Bo Bichette forces the issue and proves that he belongs in that discussion.